said it the first time. And I'm alive to God and I'm
You're listening to your good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
And I'm halfway through the year, so remember, I have a bachelor's in music education. So I could go teach at a school.
Cool.
But I'm halfway through the school year, so they're not hiring band directors halfway through the year. So I'm like, all right, well, I just have to work, right? So I end up working at a car dealership, selling cars, and bartending on the side. So I'm making pretty good money.
Two noble things.
But I'm in. I'm thinking I'm just trying
selling
to.
Cars in the day and selling booze. And
right. So it's terrible. And keep in mind, the whole time, I hated selling cars. Yeah. I mean, it was just, I was like, I was selling to the managers as much as I was selling to the customers.
Yeah. And you have to go back. You need to accept this deal, you know.
Yeah, I did not like it at all, you know. So, and it was like a entry level kind of position that they had created to where you got paid like just like $100 per car, but you got paid hourly, which is, you know, not normal for a car sales job where it's just strictly commission. Mm-hmm. So they basically wanted young people like me who probably weren't going to be
that. Well, they eat up the youth and spit them out.
Yes,
that's
big
what they
time.
Do, yeah.
Yeah, so they're trying to make a bunch
virtually
of money.
Virtually free
you.
Labor.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, considering they're paying you like $400 a week. You know, back then it was like $10 an hour was like minimum wage, and then they incentivized it by saying you're going to make $100 per car or whatever. Yeah. So that sounded great to me at the time. I'm like, I'll sell 10 cars a month and I'll make this much, and it'll be great. That didn't happen. So anyway, what do you do at car dealerships? You know, you hang out with a bunch of other people that are also just smoking cigarettes and you know partying on the. So my lifestyle was terrible. It was really bad. So I end up quitting that job, and I bartend for a little bit longer, but then I start getting into selling drugs.
Easy money.
Easy money, because all I'm doing is hanging out at the bars.
And when you say drugs, what kind of drugs?
Just cocaine.
Oh, cocaine.
Yeah.
I never tried cocaine. I tried pot, but never.
Yeah, so cocaine was the thing.
Good money in cocaine, huh?
Right.
Well, at least then there was.
Yeah. And I still looked the part of just the college kid coming back.
If people could see him, if you're watching him on YouTube or the video or Facebook, you look like the old American kid. You could be in a TV show, you know, playing the next door neighbor, you know.
You wouldn't have thought anything.
No.
So I had a
Joey, the good job.
I had a nice car, but, you know, not too nice. Like, just a humble car and a pretty girlfriend and a friend group that just looked like a bunch of college kids that just, you know, kind of
– sure.
But 90% of them didn't go to college. They were all local kids who all they'd been
And you
doing.
Are who you hang with.
Right. And so
you become who you hang
I
with.
I was conformed to just that big time.
Yeah.
And so things started – now, over the course of about 2.5 years, all I did to make money or do anything was sell cocaine and hang out at bars.
How much money do you make selling cocaine? Like,
I mean, if you do it – if you do it right and you, like, climb up to, like, much larger quantities and stuff, the sky's the limit.
Like hundreds of thousands?
Yeah, but
that's
what
perturbs me, because you got young people, they're selling this stuff, and then they have a conversion. It's got to be hard to leave behind that easy money. But the Bible does say ill-gotten gain grows wings and takes flight.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's a weird thing about it, you know. But
well, I started getting faced with opportunities when I was, you know, moving more weight around was – you know, like, you have these meetings where you end up meeting somebody who could take you to the next level. And I saw, like, that it was terrifying. So
Why was it terrifying?
Well, because now instead of being entrusted with, you know, a couple $1,000s worth of stuff, you're getting entrusted in, like, $50,000 worth of stuff. What happens if you get robbed? What happens if you make a mistake? What happens if you, you know, and you're living that lifestyle too, or I was. So
that's why you see a family of Hispanics, mom, dad, and the three kids all shot on the side of the road, just right near Vero Beach on I-95 a couple of years ago.
Right.
Drug involvement, obviously.
Right. So when I saw that the amount was starting to get to the point where, my life could be on the line, I said, no way. So I just stayed. Good for me, but I just stayed a low-level peddler. You know what I mean? Like, just peddling little bags at the bars. That's it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was still making probably, like, $80,000 to $100,000 doing that in a year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so – but, you know, the money came in, the money went right back out. Yeah. It was just all part of the lifestyle. Yeah. So – but anyway, so
– I ran into a guy from the cartel. They're now writing a book and putting a movie on him. He's making all this money. They're shooting a movie on it. He got converted to Jesus. He's down in the waters of Miami, and he says he's miserable. He's got his wife and five girlfriends. There's this couple from Canada – who are swimming in the water. And for some reason, he starts complaining how he hates his life and blah, 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 and he's miserable. They invite him up to the room. They get out the Bible. He gets converted to Jesus, leaves the cartel. And I said, I always wanted to ask you guys. I watched the movies and stuff. You got 10 million. Why not? You're not, they haven't found you yet. So why don't you, the path's going to, you know, the lead to you is going to get what do you call dry or fade out.
Right.
So go now, take your girlfriend and go live off the 10 million the rest of your life. And he's like, I said, why don't you do this? Just because you always want more.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah, because that's the thing. Once you have the most money in your pocket that you ever had, all you think is, now I can make.
And the Bible says, ill-gotten gain grows wings and takes flight. And it, I don't know why, but it does.
No, it's there's no such thing as a free lunch.
No.
It's just not.
God is watching.
No, for sure. So let's see.
So you're back here.
So things are getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
You know, and now you have. Because now we're going nonstop of this terrible lifestyle, you know. I mean, no sleep. Unfortunately, methamphetamine is starting to become really popular in the area now.
Did you do that too?
Oh yeah. So the thing is like cocaine loses its luster after a while, and like the punch that it packs when you do it all the time, all of a sudden it doesn't really do as much.
They say if you do cocaine. It doesn't matter. It could be the first time you do it. It could be the 200th time you do it. But it'll suddenly dry up the thing that's in your brain that creates dopamine. And you can never know great happiness ever again in your life. Did you know that?
I've heard that.
Zig Ziglar taught me that. He's a motivational speaker I met years ago.
I mean, you definitely. So that plays into exactly what I'm saying. Is the fact that when you're doing it day in and day out for now an elapsed time of like 2 years, 2.5 years. Nothing makes you happy. Like everything is just striving for nothing. And so that's where the enemy can really come in, because now you have jealousy seeping into your friend groups. You know, you have this girl that you love so much and she's pretty, and all the other guys are trying to get after her too. They don't really like you. They don't care about you. Nobody really likes each other in a friend group of a bunch of people who do cocaine and drink all the time, you know?
False friends.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, I heard about some guy who got into AA, stopped drinking. He came back 9 years later to the bar, and the guy says, hey, I haven't seen you in a few weeks.
I believe it.
The friendships go deep, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So at this point, things are getting really bad. You know, people are starting to sleep around. It just, the jealousy and the sleeplessness just start getting out of hand, and so things start getting physical. I got into a couple really bad fights with guys.
Mm.
Break my hands, you know, a couple times.
Did you think you had anger underneath?
Huge amounts of anger. And
that's usually, they say anger is fear or hurt talking.
Right, and I believe
you were fearful.
I think.
You knew you were going down a dark path.
I knew that, absolutely. And then I was also very hurt just from even, remember our whole, this girl and I, our relationship was founded on mistrust and cheating and terrible stuff. So all of that was.
So you not only don't have a code, you don't have a foundation.
I have nothing going on, which is crazy because my mom was an amazing mother. She was an amazing mother. She raised me with values and with love, but I didn't. And she was a believer, but she was.
So she's praying for you.
She's praying for me behind the scenes the whole time. But she was brought up in the Roman Catholic Church, and then when my dad and her got a divorce. Things she lost a lot of faith in the Lord because, I mean, she really had some hard times. She was raising, I have two sisters. She was raising the three of us by herself until my stepdad came
around.
She's
angry with God. Sure.
Yeah. And even then, when my stepdad came around, things weren't always great with them. So she's just, her luck with men, her dad was abusive. I mean, was really bad. So she definitely had some resentment towards God. And so in the time of my life where I probably could have used some, you know, her ministering to me a little bit, even from, you know, a mother's role. And pointing me towards the Lord and pointing me towards prayer, she didn't. And we've spoken about it, obviously, since. And she's upset about that. But at the same time, the way things played out, I mean, it all worked out. Anyway, so now things are getting really bad. So I get in a really bad physical altercation with the girl.
That girl you were dating?
Yeah. And so I'd never been a guy to lay hands
hit a woman,
or anything like that. And I mean, but this was
it's an all-time bottom
was an
for
insane
you.
Insane blow up. I mean, there was another girl involved, kind of egging on the whole situation. And I mean, some really, really crazy stuff.
You've got a lot of latent anger from her doing what she did to you. You know,
and yeah, and me, and I was.
There's no excuse for hitting, obviously.
No, never.
And
I, you know, and I didn't treat her well either. So I mean, we definitely had hatred for each other.
So what happens after this fight?
She goes to the police, and I go to jail.
That's what you went to jail for.
The first time.
The first time.
So this is in town. That's the thing. This is.
Yeah, they say if you call the cops, somebody has to go to jail. So you go to jail. What did you get? Convicted or something?
So I went to jail for on like six felony counts of domestic violence. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So I'm in there, and my bond is like $125,000. This is my first time ever being arrested or anything.
So you don't get out?
Well, so I'm in there for 40 days and 40 nights. Exactly.
Wow,
and
that's the number of testing. Moses and Noah and Jesus. 40 days and 40 nights.
So I was a big fan of Michael Jackson's music, right? And I'm listening to Beat It. Or I'm listening to Billie Jean.
Yeah.
And what's he say?
40
days and for 40 nights the law was on her side is one of the lines from that song.
No.
And I remember listening to that. And I mean, I was a huge Michael Jackson fan.
God will use anything to talk to you.
And I couldn't believe it. So 40 days and 40 nights, my grandmother... So my mom is a hairdresser in town, and she knows lots of people. And so she meets – at this time, she's up in Melbourne, and she works for a lady who knows this woman who's running for judge in Brevard County and is this amazing lawyer.
Yeah.
And so my grandma puts up the money to hire this lawyer for me, and my grandma also bonds me out of jail. So she pays like the $10,000 to get me out.
Okay.
So I get out. I have this amazing lawyer, and
now who puts up the bond? Your grandmother?
My grandmother.
Yeah.
And so I get out of jail, and I'm not allowed to talk to the girl. Obviously, that's like a pretty big no-no. You know, after a domestic.
Oh yeah, no, you're
thing.
Not.
There's a huge no contact and all that stuff.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'll go back.
I'll
to jail
go right
in
back
a flash.
To jail, and my bond will be revoked. Grandma's out $10,000.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I vow that I'm not going to break that. There's no way. Well, she gets a hold of me, and everybody's telling me,
stay away.
Well, unfortunately, no. Everybody's, all the people in jail and stuff are saying, listen, man, if she gets a hold of you, you got to convince her to drop the charges. So, and I say, no, there's no way. I'm not doing it. I don't want anything to do with her. That's
it. You need to listen to that inner voice.
Yeah, I'm done.
You didn't.
No way.
What happens?
So, I get back in touch with her, and now it's not about getting her to drop the charges. I just am so, like, it was so weird. It was such a horrible relationship, but I was so thankful to have her back in my life that I just did anything I could to continue it, you know? So I'm sneaking around with her, obviously. I mean, I could literally go back.
Codependency,
like,
right?
Like, extreme codependency. So this is where it gets bad. In the mix of all this, she gets pregnant.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
All around us in the presence.